One of the things we do as a church, as a group of God's people, is we take seriously the Bible. And we love to dig into it, find out what it's got to say, and to be blessed by it. We believe the Bible is God's word to us. It's Him speaking to us. And so we've read a little bit of it. And what we usually do is just reflect on that. And in order to do that, I've done some study in preparation for this week. And then when I've said a few words now, just 5 or 6 minutes or so, maybe fraction over that, I'm hoping that you're going to talk about it amongst yourselves and think a little bit more on that together. So what are the things that need to be remembered out of this passage? What are the things that we oughtn't to forget? What are the things we should recognize, even if they're not in the form we finally understand them? You know, a bit like the baby picture that grows up into the adult and they change. And what are the things that are hiding here in this passage that we mustn't forget? Because obviously the disciples missed things the first time around. And they record for us that having missed them the first time around, they got them later on. Let's just look at a few words and try and understand this passage a bit better. We read that when it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And that's the first question. What does the Passover really mean? It's something that the Jews still celebrate today. It's something that was very significant to them, always has been, ever since they came out of Egypt. I mean, we're talking 3,500-something years ago. It's got to be important for them to keep remembering it with this ceremony. The Passover is a very specific ceremony. If you've ever been involved, some of you young people who've got taught this at school, you've got a great privilege, because I wasn't ever taught this at school. I had to learn it for myself. It's a remarkable occasion. What we understand from the Bible and from Jewish tradition is that God had spoken to his people who were captives, slaves in Egypt at the time. And God had said, the time of this horrible nation who are enslaving you, who are treating you dreadfully, their time is up. Their civilization needs to be brought down. They need to stop doing what they're doing. And God has the authority to say that. And so he said, I'm going to come and judge this nation. I'm going to look at what's going on, and I'm going to say, that's wrong, it needs to stop. This is right, and it should carry on. And God comes in judgment of a nation. And he says to Moses, listen, you're my people, and you shouldn't be treated like this. I'm going to judge justly and make it right. I'm going to raise up you who have fallen, if you will trust me and believe in me and follow me. And Moses and God's people do. And there's an elaborate ceremony that they have to go through. I'm not going to go into all the details, but the heart of it is they took a lamb from the flock and it came and lived with them in the house for a few days. And on the night of God's judgment, the lamb dies. And to mark the fact that it's died, there's a ceremony and food and a meal and everything else that goes with it. It's not wasted. It's not like that. It's used as you would use animal livestock for eating. But the blood of the animal is taken and daubed on the lintel and the doorposts of the house. And we read that God came in judgment, and as he looked at each of these houses, he looked at the houses where people had said, we're following you, God. We believe in what you've said, and we've done these instructions, however little bit weird they are, we've done this. And God passed over, and that's where the name comes from, the Passover. He passed over that house. And his judgment didn't fall on that house. And all the other Egyptian houses, and the Egyptians were really horrible to the Jewish people, the Israelites at the time. They ignored them. They treated them badly. They presumably had also heard this message and they've ignored it. They haven't done this. And God's judgment falls on those houses. And tragically, the firstborn son in every one of those houses that night died. That's quite a judgment, isn't it? A whole generation of that civilization dies that night. That's a mark down for that civilization. It could take some time for them to recover from that. They're going to think deeply about what happened that night, you would have thought. Something unique and special, remarkable has happened. What's happened? And that's part of the message. God is saying, you can't go on mistreating people. You can't go on in sin and terrible things. Judgment will come. Correction will come. Justice will come. But those who follow him are set free. The rest of the story, I imagine you perhaps know a little bit more of. That night they leave and they wander off into the desert. They become the great people and eventually they come round to Israel and they become the nation. But that's Passover, a night of God's judgment, where those who ignore God and mistreat others are judged and justice comes. And those who listen to God and have sought to do things right by him and by each other are raised up and freed and liberated. And in the promised land, when they get there, a temple is built. A lot of this story happens in the temple. So instead of happening in Egypt with their coats on ready to run, because that's how it was the first night, this happens in the temple. Now, the temple is in Jerusalem. And actually, the remnants of this temple that's being talked about, you can see there today if you were to travel to Jerusalem. In fact, if you ask at least Ruth, and I think one or two others here tonight who've been, they can tell you a little bit about it. This is the third temple that the Jewish people had there, Herod's temple, a massive construction. Herod was many things, nasty piece of work at times, but he was a fantastic architect. He built massive things. And this is the third temple. What's the temple for? The temple was built as a place of prayer where God and people met and communicated. Sadly, the day of this story, it's not much of a place of prayer. It's become a marketplace. And that's why Jesus clears it, so that people can talk to God again and they can meet with him. And then we've got this funny phrase, haven't we? Destroy this temple and all that 3 days bit of it. Again, lost in translation, I think. The Jews demanded of him, what miraculous sign can you show to us to prove your authority to do this? And Jesus said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it in 3 days. And they think, the Jews think, he's talking about the stones. And he isn't. I mean, we know that's true because that temple was destroyed in AD 70 by the Romans and it's never been rebuilt. Destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. And then after he's died, after the first Easter, and 3 days later he's risen again, the disciples realize what he said. He wasn't talking about the stones. What Jesus was saying is, you no longer need this great big building. I'm the temple. I'm the connection between God and people. I'm the one who sets people free and raises them up if they've been cast down. I'm the one who comes in judgment if those people have ignored God and been cruel to others. So Jesus says, destroy this temple, and he's pointing to his death. And 3 days later, I will raise it up, and he's pointing very clearly to the fact that he rose again. Now, I don't want to go into detail tonight, but some people do doubt whether this actually happened in history. The evidence appears very clearly to say just one thing. This really happened. We can go into that if you want. Many people have and looked at it. There's famously a lawyer in this country, a judge, did that. He set out, said, I can't believe it really happened. And he went away and researched and looked at all the documentary evidence and the sources outside the Bible, and he concluded, yeah, it happened. So Jesus is properly dead, but raised to life again. And that's the greatest sign he did. The Jews asked for a sign. He said, I'll come back from the dead. And he did it. That's quite a sign. He did lots of other things. You may know some of the signs and wonders that Jesus did. Walking on water, feeding the 5,000. He did all these things, we read, to prove he had the authority to say, I come to set people free who've been cast down, who've become slaves. He said, I have the authority to judge and say something is wrong and needs to stop. If that's the people who've sinned against God, who've turned away from him. So this here is really just a very snapshot, a very small snapshot of the life of Jesus and what he came to do. He came to fulfill the picture of the Passover. He came to replace the stone temple with himself. He came so that you and I can talk direct to God. He is our priest, if you like, now, our intermediary. We only need Jesus Christ. We only need to believe in him. He came to show that he's the judge who will deal with sin properly. He came to show he's the Savior who will set people free and lift them up and rescue them and take them to heaven. This is the life of the Lord Jesus in these verses. The disciples didn't get it first time around. I'm ever so grateful for the disciples and their big feet and getting it wrong, because I often do the same thing. And I often need a second chance, and I often need a little bit of encouragement to look at something again. So perhaps in your groups around the tables with the people near to you, why don't you just look, there's three questions on a piece of paper. If you want to share what bit of the story didn't you know, had you forgotten? Is there something that's just come fresh to mind today? And what do you think of these teachings, the Passover, the temple, destroy, meaning death, 3 days raising to life, Jesus, the signs and wonders that he's done. What do you think? And does it make a difference? I'll give you 5 minutes to talk with your neighbours, to chat, and just to think about these things.